Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. And in our final segment with Dr. James Mitchell, we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on since President Trump was inaugurated and what he could do to kind of turn the tide on our failed policies in dealing with the Islamists, both abroad and here at home. Let's take the first thing that, President Trump did, which was attempt to enact a travel ban from particular countries with a known jihadist threat and failed states. But also in that executive order, it's often overlooked, he also called for our agencies to develop vetting procedures that allowed them to determine who might be a threat to this country other than just known terrorists, who might have belief systems that are incompatible with the Constitution, with our culture, and with our society. And I'm curious if you think there is value in both the pause in immigration from places where we can't tell the good guys from the bad guys, but then also the follow-on of attempting to determine if there are people who share beliefs. You know, like you said, you mentioned the Hindu custom of burning the widow when the husband died, which the British ruler, the British governor in India said, you go ahead and conduct your custom and throw the wife on the funeral pyre, and we'll use ours, which is shooting people who do that. So should we and can we stand up and oppose those things here in the United States and say, if you believe that, you can't come here?
All you need to do is take a look at France and Germany and Belgium and London or England to some extent and other places like that, Sweden, where you see where they were a lot less careful about who they let in, that they now have in their midst people who are becoming radicalized in part because they came over and attempted to sort of reestablish the conditions and freedom of religion to use their entire religion the way they saw it over here and that over in these other places. And so you get this sort of hotbed of people who are part of it comes from several dangerous ideas. You know, they believe that they've been given domain over the whole world and a holy mandate to cleanse it of all things that offend Islam or Allah. And if you don't do that, then again, you risk your soul if you're one of these true believers. And so the problem that we face is that almost everything that we, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed said, your Western culture with its freedoms and decadent indulges cannot coexist with true Islam, with Sharia. Can't coexist. We have to destroy it because it's unclean. And that's part of the problem, I think, is we just fail to recognize that.
President Trump's taking a step the right direction in saying, to start with, if you believe in violence to further the cause of your religion, you're absolutely not welcome. But also, if you believe that you can use whatever means necessary to impose your religion on others and to destroy the society that, you know, you would be joining ostensibly, then that ought to be something we consider when deciding, should we grant someone the right to come to this country? Because there is no affirmative right for anyone on the planet to come to the United States who's not already a U.S. citizen. So we grant that privilege to people, and should we be able to then say, if these are your beliefs and you are likely to push that agenda in a way that's, you know, outside of the Constitution and our laws and our culture, you're not welcome. I mean, that seems to me, like you said, the opposite of cultural suicide. That's cultural self-preservation.
Well, if we were talking about the prediction of violence as it pertained to, for example, stalking celebrities, right, the FBI has done a tremendously good job of developing protocols for predicting violence towards celebrities on the basis of how their stalkers act and some of the demographics. And the same thing is true for for other kinds of violence. You know, the prediction of violence in the United States has a long history. It's used in court quite a bit. You know, there are several ways to do it. There are basically three ways. One way, of course, is to have some expert come in and screen the person and decide whether they're likely to be violent or not. And that actually has even for the most skilled experts, and some people have higher success rates than others, but it's still only about 1 in 3 times that they're correct on that. Then there's an actuarial way of doing it, which is basically you look at the broad statistics. You know, there have been enough people who have committed violent acts in the name of Islam that we could take their social media stuff, do something called a discriminant analysis or a factor analysis, and identify some of the features that pop up in social media that make them more at risk. And then the third way of doing that is to look at the person's own behavior. The best predictor of future behavior is past behavior in similar situations. And so if I'm wanting to come into a country, let's just make one up, like Spokanistan, and at the airport, they look at my social media, and I've been texting a lot and tweeting a lot and sending a lot of emails to people and visiting a lot of anti-Spokanistan websites and talking about how great it would be to kill off the infidels in Spokanistan, then Spokanistan should be cautious about letting me in.
You'd hope they would.
You know, as you said, right. So there's three ways that we could do it. The way that most people object to the most is the expert who does the screening. Actuarially, though, it's possible, in the case of mental health patients, for example, it's possible to look at the behavior of a mental health patient, their past behavior in different situations, and say, under similar situations as these, they're likely to do this. Now, it's not 100%, but it's close enough that court decisions are made on it in terms of whether they should be released or not. And in my view, if you can do that actuarially, or you can do that from looking at their own internal activity, then I think we ought to be able to do that in terms of making the decision about whether or not let some person who wants to come here, who has engulfed in their own minds these dangerous ideas, I think we ought to be able to refuse them.
Well, I think, again, it seems that people forget that you have to prove there's a reason. You know, there is no right to come here. You need to convince the United States of America that there is a reason for us to say, yes, you can come here. And if you are demonstrably, in any of the ways you just outlined, a threat to us, or at least a reasonably predictive threat, then why would we take the chance? And I think that's, you know, back to the other concept, the political correctness stops us from making that a policy.
It stops us from even looking at the data. Like I said, there has been enough people who have their presence on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and, you know, Snapchat and that sort of stuff, who have gone on to do terrorist activities, that you could pull from them a pool of people who have done those kinds of things, and then pull from them a pool of people who have similar sorts of ideology but haven't done those kinds of things. And you could, the same way you would in any other thing, do an analysis to determine what are the likely indicators. And then when you tick off those indicators, you don't let them in. But political correctness objects to that. Because for some reason, there are people in the United States who believe that our Constitution applies to everyone on the planet instead of just U.S. citizens.
And unfortunately, those people were running the country and have spread very broadly throughout government. Let us hope the new administration can get a grain of common sense involved. Dr. James Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
And please, folks, check out his book, Enhanced Interrogation, Inside the Minds of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America. This is Jim Hansen. That's going to wrap up Secure Freedom Radio for today. We will be back tomorrow with more ammunition for you in the war for the free world.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.